is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, a conversation with Scott Beckstead. He's the director of campaigns for two affiliated organizations. We've talked to him a number of times in the past, but it's been a while, and we got connected with him the other day again. And Scott, thanks for coming back in.
It's always a pleasure to be here, Kyle.
So talk about what you're doing these days.
Well, I'm doing the same general kind of work that I did when I was with the Humane Society of the United States. I worked for them beginning in 2008, and you know, they originally hired me to help get the Dutchess Horse Sanctuary out by Oakland set up. I left them last year, and it's been just over a year ago that I left, and I now work for the former president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, who has founded Animal Wellness Action and the Center for a Humane Economy. These are two organizations that are both organized under the Animal Wellness Foundation, but I'm doing a lot of the same kind of work, basically animal advocacy, working on a lot of the same issues, with the notable exception that I'm far more active on the wild horse issue. And we can talk about that because Wednesday is the 50th anniversary of the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act. But I also am still teaching part-time at Willamette University College of Law. I'm a part-time adjunct professor there, and I teach classes in animal law and wildlife law. And next semester, I'll be teaching a brand new class in animal agriculture law, and then for the second time, my class in cannabis law. So some very diverse and very exciting fields that I'm teaching for Willamette University.
So for all the work around animals, how does the cannabis law one tie in?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, I believe very much in the benefits of the cannabis plant, you know, for all the various reasons why it's you know, so popular, and it's a very dynamic area of law, which I find fascinating. And you know, I mean, you pick up the newspaper on any given day and there's been some new huge development around cannabis law, whether it's marijuana on the medical side or whether it's industrial hemp, you know, on the CBD and so forth. So just because it's such a dynamic topic and there's so much happening, and because it's something that I believe in, it's something that I'm happy to teach.
And before you came here, you were over on the coast, but not really a typical law practice, right?
Well, I was the only lawyer in Waldport for 15 years, and I had a very diverse practice. I kind of made a name for myself handling animal-related cases and kind of became known for my expertise in the field of animal law. But I did literally just almost everything. I did a lot of civil litigation and business and real estate and probates and writing wills and trusts and contracts and all that kind of stuff.
And didn't you have some other roles in Waldport too?
I was the mayor. They elected me mayor for several years, and I absolutely loved being the mayor of Waldport. It was some of the best times, and we got some great things done for the city of Waldport while I was there, and I look back with some very fond memories.
So how big is Waldport?
It's about 2,500 people, you know, it's right there, 15 miles south of Newport, beautiful spot on the Alsea Bay, and that's where I met Jackie, and we raised our kids for the first, 15 years of their lives, and then we moved here to Douglas County, and we've been thrilled to be here.
So what's it like working with in this a lot of the same areas, but for kind of a upstart new organization?
Well, it's in many ways very refreshing, because it is a small new organization, so it's a small team of people. We can be very nimble and very adaptable. We can immediately pounce if there's a new story in the news on an animal-related topic, or some major need that has to be addressed, a major issue. We can jump on it. It's very different from working in a in a huge organization with hundreds and hundreds of staff, you know, there's just not the same sort of, you know, institutional bureaucracy and red tape and all that kind of stuff. So there's that. And then just, you know, I'm given a lot more autonomy in terms of the kind of work that I want to do. And I wanted to work on the wild horse issue while I was with the Humane Society of the United States. And it was something that, you know, I was pretty restricted in terms of my ability to do that. And now with these organizations, you know, they look to me as a leader on those, on the topic of wild horses. And so I have been using my voice and my platform to get out there and be very active. And I'm pretty happy about that.
So tell us more about the wild horse issue, because I think a lot of people probably are not all that familiar with it.
Right. So, 50 years ago Wednesday, so this the day after tomorrow, will be the 50-year anniversary of President Nixon signing into law the Wild Free Roaming Horses and Burros Act of 1971, passed unanimously by Congress, not a single dissenting vote. And the law was passed in response to deep concerns that people had about the abuse of wild horses and burros on our public lands. People were going out and rounding them up and selling them for slaughter and just doing terrible things to them. And that really caused concern with the American people. You know, unlike so many other countries, the United States and we as American people really do have a deep love for horses because of the role, the important role that they played in the building of our nation. So because of that, people spoke out and they enacted the law. And on Wednesday, we mark that anniversary, and we are encouraging people to contact their members of Congress and let them know that they support wild horses and burros on our public lands and that they want them protected and allowed to live wild and free.
And I am going to guess that maybe even there's some folks that don't even realize, depending on where you've been, where you've traveled to, that there are wild horses. I mean,
you'd be surprised at how many people aren't aware. Yeah.
You see a horse, you're going along a road, you see a horse over there somewhere, you presume it belongs to some nearby property, whether you could see it or not, and that's not always the case.
No, in fact, and Oregon has some of the most beautiful and iconic wild horse herds in the nation. Out in the South Steens Mountains, we've got some herds of horses, and they're known for their size, their robust health, and their beautiful pinto coloring. And then we've got the famous Kyger Mustangs that are located high up in the Kyger Mountains of southeastern Oregon. They are all known by their prehistoric coloring and markings. They are considered to be the most similar to the original Mustang of any other type of wild horse. But no, we have horses and burros living on public lands across 10 western states, all on lands managed by the Bureau of Land Management.
So if a horse is living in that situation, obviously somebody doesn't just show up with feed at 8 and 5 o'clock.
No, these are horses that are living wild and free. They live out on the public lands, you know, living very much like they lived. You know, keep in mind that the horse evolved over millions of years here on the North American continent. So this really is their native home turf. This is where they evolved. And eventually they migrated across the Bering Bridge into Asia and down into the Middle East, where they evolved into donkeys, and then into Africa, where they evolved into zebras. But they're all the same, the same family. And this really is the landscape where they evolved. Now, they were, they went extinct at the end of the last ice age, as did most of the megafauna, like the woolly mammoths and the big saber-toothed cats and so forth, primarily because of human hunting and climate change. But of course, they were reintroduced by European settlers, and the native tribes quickly, learned how to domesticate, and they became very important to several native tribes. So, again, they have a place here in our country and on our public lands, and I'm very, very happy to be out there fighting for them.
More when we come back with Scott Beckstead. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at Inside Douglas County for News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas Caddy, 1248 to News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson at 1. Peter Greenberg, I on Travel at 4 on tomorrow's Inside Douglas Caddy. Superintendent Jared Croydon of Roseburg Public Schools ahead of the holiday break. We'll get an update on how things are going in the school district. A lot going on this year. Scott Beckstead here with the Animal Wellness Action and the Center for a Humane Economy, talking about a lot of different things he's been working on, especially the wild horse issue. What are some of the things that have come up with that issue in the last couple of years?
Well, unfortunately, the Bureau of Land Management, which is the agency charged by that law to humanely manage our wild horse herds, has been on an unprecedented campaign to round up and remove tens of thousands of wild horses from their habitats across western United States. And ostensibly, they're doing it, they're saying, because of drought conditions. But what they're not being honest about, what the Bureau of Land Management is not being honest about, is the amount of overgrazing being done by livestock. So we had, you know, before these roundups started, we had roughly 80,000 wild horses spread across 10 states over millions and millions of public acres. And the BLM started telling this story that was too many wild horses, 80,000 wild horses, and that, you know, we needed to start rounding these horses up and getting them off the land. What it was not saying, of course, was that it allows grazing on those designated wild horse habitat areas of cattle and sheep. And in some areas, cattle and sheep get 80% of the grass on a wild horse management area. So it's been very frustrating for those of us who follow these wild horses and burros and who really want them to be a part of our public landscape, to see the agency that was charged with humanely manage them chasing them down with helicopters. I mean, just this past summer, we saw helicopters chasing wild horses into barbed wire fences. The BLM has through these roundups, you know, several little foals were left behind, you know, and I mean, there's just all these really heartbreaking, terrible stories. And, you know, when the American people see images of wild horses being chased, you know, to the point of utter exhaustion by these helicopters into traps so that they can then be sent to these barren corrals to basically stand around and look at each other for the rest of their lives, it causes a great deal of outrage. And so, again, that's why the Bureau of Land Management is now spinning this story that, you know, we have to do it. You know, we're saving the horses from starving, or we're protecting the rangeland from being degraded by overgrazing. But what they're not saying is that, you know, for example, the Anakie wild horse area in Utah, they said that 500 horses were too many, so they removed 300 of them. And they didn't say that same area has been allowed for 4,500 cattle and sheep. Sandwash Basin, northwestern Colorado, they said 600 horses were too many, so they rounded up like 400 of them. And then and then just weeks later, we see thousands upon thousands of cattle and sheep in that same area that the BLM was saying is overgrazed by wild horses. So the Bureau of Land Management is not being honest with the American people. It's engaging in the very acts of cruelty that the federal law was meant to stop. And so my job as a wild horse advocate is to get out there and really make sure that people understand what's really going on, and also encourage journalists and, you know, reporters to, you know, don't just take these media statements that the Bureau of Land Management puts out about too many wild horses. Actually start asking the hard questions. Ask the question, okay, so you say that 300 wild horses is too many for this area. How many cattle and sheep are you allowing? And, you know, they don't want to tell you, but it's probably going to be many, many times the number of wild horses.
So the cattle and sheep that are there, are those there that, I mean, are they owned by someone who has like a permit to
Yes.
have them graze there?
Yes. The Bureau of Land Management gives permits to commercial livestock companies to graze their cattle and sheep at a tax subsidized rate of $1.35 per animal unit month. Okay, $1.35. Per animal unit month. That's a cow, calf, pair, four sheep, or one horse. By contrast, cattle producers in the Midwest who don't have the benefit of public lands grazing are paying well over $20 per animal unit month. So basically, we taxpayers are subsidizing these giant commercial livestock companies to graze their animals on our public lands at our expense, and those same entities are urging that all the horses be removed because, of course, they want all that grass to go to their cattle and sheep.
So have the cattle and sheep been on these lands for a number of years, or is that a newer development?
Well, it's ever since the Bureau of Land Management was created, you know, nearly a century ago. And you know, the Taylor Grazing Act is the federal law that allows for grazing on public lands. But then, of course, you've got the designation of by Congress that wild horses and burros also have a place on those public lands. And the problem is that the Bureau of Land Management consistently puts the private profits of these livestock companies over the interests of the American people in seeing wild horses living wild and free in their designated habitat.
So around Oregon, do we have proportionally more horses than some other states, just given the rural, vast rural areas?
Yeah,
we have.
You know, I don't know how many wild horses total. My guess, it's probably in the neighborhood of 3,000 to 4,000 wild horses living mostly in the eastern part of the state and the southeastern part of the state. Of course, we also have a Bureau of Land Management holding corral in Hines, right outside of Burns, that holds hundreds of wild horses that have been removed and are being held. But you know, the other thing to point out here is that the Bureau of Land Management states that it has a policy of not sending these animals to slaughter once that they are removed. But unfortunately, that's exactly what's happening. The Bureau of Land Management has a program called the Adoption Incentive Program, where they will pay you $1,000 to adopt a wild horse or burro. And so these unscrupulous adopters, you can adopt up to four, they're getting their $4,000, putting these animals out in a field for the one-year waiting period, and then they take them down to the local slaughter auction and get paid again for the same animal. So the Bureau of Land Management, while stating that it doesn't want these wild horses and burros to go to slaughter, are enabling exactly that to occur.
And because this is a federal agency, I imagine a lot of your work on this deals with Washington, D.C. then.
Right, and Congress, because Congress, of course, appropriates the money to the Bureau of Land Management for its wild horse and burro program. And that's one of our top challenges, is reaching out to members of Congress and making sure that they understand that what they are being told by the Bureau of Land Management and by the lobbyists for the beef industry is just one very narrow, one side of the issue. And we are encouraging Congress to look deeper and ask serious questions about how the Bureau of Land Management is handling our public lands and what they are prioritizing and who is getting rich off of the BLM's priorities and who's being left behind.
You mentioned a lot of aspects about the horses and their coloring and all of that. I would imagine that lends itself to some pretty good photography.
Yes. And you know, I follow wild horse photographers. All you have to do is go to Facebook and type in wild horse photography or, you know, wild horse photos or whatever. And that's really what gets people hooked, are these amazing images that these professional photographers take of our wild herds, whether it's stallions battling for supremacy over a herd, or whether it's a newborn foal struggling to rise for the first time. I mean, just amazing photographs that really tell the story about the lives these animals live out there in the wild. And it's amazing, and it's also highly addictive. And I usually feature at least one really gorgeous, amazing photograph of wild horses on my Facebook and Instagram every single day, just because I can't get enough. And it always generates all sorts of positive responses. And just like you mentioned, a lot of people are like, I didn't even realize we had such gorgeous animals out there. And it's like, well, the more you learn, you know.
If people want to find out more about this issue or about the organizations you're involved with, where do they go?
Well, go to my Facebook page, Scott Beckstead. You can find a lot of the work that I'm doing there. But also go to our website, animalwellnessaction.org. That's animalwellnessaction.org. And you can see the work that we're doing for wild horses and wolves and fighting, animal fighting, all sorts of issues.
All right, Scott Beckstead on Inside Douglas County.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.